The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We rejoice, we are glad in Jesus. We'll meditate this morning on six verses from Genesis chapter 15, relating this to Christmas and how we almost lost Christmas. Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. O Prince of Peace, grant us your peace. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, dear children of the Heavenly Father, what would it take to stop Christmas if someone took it in his mind to make sure it just wasn't going to happen? If we were living in 1652, England, we could find out from experience, because this worship service would be illegal. Oliver Cromwell and his parliament on Christmas Eve, 1652, declared Christmas illegal. This was the wording of the Great Declaration. No observance shall be had on the 25th of December, called Christmas Day, not any solemnity used or exercised in churches in respect thereof. There shall be no Christmas. Oliver Cromwell was a Puritan, angry and hating every Catholic alive on the earth, and practically every Protestant too. Oliver Cromwell hunted priests and pastors. In Ireland especially, he was vicious. They hate Oliver Cromwell still in Ireland, all these years later. There were fugitive priests and pastors out in the wild, looking for some place to find shelter at night. And that's where they came with the Irish custom of the candle in the window, so that the priest or pastor running for his life could see that there was some safe place. He'd look for the candle in the window as a safe haven. Can you stomp out Christmas? Cromwell tried. And alas, alack, it didn't happen. Christmas continued. You couldn't legislate it away. In fact, you might say, if they declared a law in America that we could not have Christmas, we would have two or three times as many people here today, because that's how Americans would react. Tell them not to, and then they will. So the devil has a different tactic. In our culture, Satan gives us Christmas on steroids. You can't get away from it. You're on hold on the telephone and you've got the music piping and the drummers drumming. You can't get away from it in the stores, and customers complain. But the merchants want you in the mood, thinking about buying now, spend it now, and don't worry about it till the bill comes due on the credit card sometime in January, and by then we'll have closed our books on the previous year. This is nothing new. In fact, as I look back at the promises of God, I look back at the life of the father of all believers, Abraham, I see how we would have missed Christmas if not for the fear of Abraham. His name was still Abram until the Lord changed it from that which means exalted father to Abraham, the father of many. And at this point in his life, we can tell what he was thinking and feeling by looking back at the previous chapter and then seeing what the Lord says to him here in these verses for Christmas for Abraham. He must have felt somewhat like King Arthur about 1,100 years before Oliver Cromwell, when he faced off with 90,000 pagans in England and beat them, and then declared the 25th of December to be Christmas in England throughout the land when they would celebrate their Savior. You have one political leader saying yes after a great victory, and another one saying no, because we want all the trappings away, all the music gone, all the colors out, and just look at Christ without the color. That was Cromwell. But Abram here had just come off a great victory. How do you feel after a great victory? Some great challenge in your life that might have been a test that you were dreading or some job interview, and you come through that and you feel elated. But that's because there was no danger involved. In Abram's case, there were four foreign kings that attacked the land and ravaged it from one end to the other all the way to where his nephew Lot was living in Sodom. And five kings, including the king of Sodom, got whipped bad by those four foreign kings. They sacked Sodom and Gomorrah. They took everything they wanted as booty, including people like Lot and his family, and then headed off to the north. Abram was over in Hebron when he heard the news, and he called out his army. All 318 of his army, home-trained soldiers, to go after an army. The Bible doesn't give us the number, but it had to have been more than 90,000 that King Arthur faced. Just the description here, 318 men. What would you feel like running to catch up? This military victory is so awesome in the annals of military victories that just recently they had it in a documentary on TV showing Abram and his servant soldiers chasing those kings, dividing up his soldiers at night, attacking from several directions. 318 must have looked like hundreds of thousands in the dead of night. Night attacks were not known at the time, as near as we can tell. Abram attacked at night from all directions and won. Got Lot back, went back and returned everything, and must have felt afraid. Because even though he won that time, it's kind of like, great, that one's behind me. What about the next time? Living like a nomad rancher in this foreign land. What's going to happen the next time? What's going to happen to me and my family? So the Lord comes to Abram after this. In the Word, I believe this is Christ. When it says the Word came to Abram, that could very well have been the angel of the Lord that appears so often in the pages of Scripture and steps up there. But even if it's just the Word that is spoken, it's the Word of God that took on flesh and blood at Christmas. The Word came to Abram and said what the angel said to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. What the messengers of God always say when they come to the sinner, as the holy coming to the sinner. They have to do something first. They have to take away the fear. So the word of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I'm the one who will shield you. I'm the one who will reward you and give you all that you need for Christmas. How often do you and I lose Christmas, not so much because of the world around us, but because we're looking in the wrong place? We maybe try to find our Christmas in family or friends or in the trappings themselves or in our own heart. We look for peace inside, and as soon as you look, it seems to run away. It's like a candle that's burning in a room, and when you open the door, the wind blows it out. That's our faith sometimes. It feels so fragile. And so it was for Abram. The Lord knew what he needed to hear. He also knew that something else was on Abram's mind. I am your shield and very great reward, but Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? He had gotten this promise at least 10 years before. Now he's 85, and his wife Sarai is 75. Lord, when? Have you had promises from God where you keep wondering when, Lord? How long will you finally answer my prayers? How long before you finally take this loneliness and this heartache away? How long before you help me with this that I've prayed about for years? When we seek relief from a long-felt grief, when temptations come alluring, make us patient and enduring. Show us that bright shore where we weep no more. That's what Abram needed to see. God knew, take care of this problem about the fear of the danger in the land first, but there's something else in your heart, Abram. We'll get to that. And Abram wants to help God. What about a little help from me, Lord? Maybe I heard you wrong. Maybe I'm looking for too much Christmas in your promises. Maybe I'm expecting too much from your word. Maybe I should help. Maybe we should just follow this age-old custom of adopting a servant and calling him the heir. Will that be okay? We almost missed Christmas. Because the fear of Abraham aimed that direction was the wrong kind of fear. It doesn't help to hide from God, hide behind the bush, like Adam in the garden. The fear that the Lord wanted from Abraham was what's called filial fear. The fear of a dear son for his dear father who wants to respect him and never cross him because he's a father of love and patience and kindness. That's what God wanted from Abram. So the Lord said no. No! You pray? You ask to help me? No. See, if you do what you want to do, my will not be done. If you go to work and try to solve this problem through your customs and your intelligence or your talent, it won't be a miracle if you do it. So no, your servant will not be your heir. I'm God. I have a better idea. Your heir will be one from your own body. Still, you're 85, I know it, or more. I won't tell you it'll be another 15 years or so before we finally get this done. But God has a way of making this faith grow in Abram's heart so that he not only doesn't fear what could happen in the world around him when the mighty kings advance against him and political powers try to take your rights away, or you're trying as best you can to love and cherish your family, and it's just not working. God knows that what Abram and we, the children of that father of all believers, what we need is a right relationship with God. And God knows how to make it. So he took Abram out and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. You want one son, don't you? You just want to finally have that child of the promise. Well, you'll get that son. But every time you go out at night and you see those beautiful stars in the heavens, I want you to remember that's how your offspring will be. Through this one son coming from your body, there will be a multitude of offspring. So many that you can't count. He almost lost Christmas. And if Abram had lost Christmas, we would have too. Because we set our sights so low. We have such small ideas about what we need from God and what we need for life and for eternity. We're like a kid who takes some newspaper and wraps up a box and tapes it together with masking tape and pretends there's something valuable inside. God wants to wrap up Christmas in his own love. He wants it to be shining with the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ. He wants it filled with the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord has to get at the problem of our sin, our foolishness, our feeble efforts to try to solve our own problems outside of the will of God. Look at the stars, Abram. See what I have for you in Christmas? Not one son, but through that single offspring, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, it was the same stars. It was the same starry host. It was the same sky that broke out over Bethlehem when the angels declared that the glory of God was lying in a manger bed. Under those same stars came our hope, our Christmas. We would have missed Christmas if not for the offspring in righteousness. Abram believed the Lord. And he credited it to him as righteousness. Don't wrap up your own gift. Let the Lord wrap it in Christ. He did it for Abram just because Abram believed his promise. Isn't it true that sometimes the hardest thing to do is just wait? Most of us don't have a problem with being overly religious. We have a problem with not trying hard enough. But every once in a while, we do try too hard. I asked a dear professor, Professor Habeck, one time about that Bible passage, do not be overly righteous. And a relative of mine who said, you know, you can get too much religion. You can get too much of the Bible. Professor Habeck had that little twinkle in his eye that he often did when he knew he had a great answer for you. He just looked at me and said, I'll give you the same answer I give to everyone else who asks that question. It may be possible to be overly religious and have too much of Scripture, but you are in no immediate danger. On those rare times when we are, when we're just trying too hard, it's good to go to the manger bed and kneel beside our Savior and look at what God has done. How a promise made at the beginning of time in the garden and repeated so many times and again to that dear old man Abram, the father of all believers. Promise repeated over and over again so that he would just believe it, just trust God's word. That's what most of us want more and more the older we get. When Christmas isn't so bright and shiny anymore, it's more like you'd rather, instead of a million meaningless presents under the tree, maybe just a credit card. And you have one. An inexhaustible credit card from God. Abram believed God and he credited it to him as righteousness. In Jesus, you have wrapped up right there in the manger a credit card that you can take home with you, spend on your family, spend at work, spend at school, spend at play, spend at night, spend during the daytime, spend for all eternity, because the credit card of Christ will never be exhausted. You cannot max it out. It is the righteousness and love of the infinite God. His peace, his joy. We almost missed Christmas many times over the years, but God intervened, and he intervenes for us again today with his holy word. You can never miss Christmas in Christ. Amen. Please rise.